Today's reading is just three verses from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. If you have a Bible to hand, it would be good to follow the passage as I read. So it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning in our sermon, we're going to be focusing on one little phrase from that passage that Phil just read for us. And it's this: speaking the truth in love. Now, we're focusing in on that because a few weeks ago, Anil from Christchurch spoke in our series on church leadership. And he was speaking about the work of a church leader. And he was preaching from this passage. And as he preached, he touched on this phrase, speaking the truth in love. And afterwards in the chat, there were quite a few people saying, how are we to go about doing this? This feels like a big thing to do. It looks like it's an important thing to do for one another, but it looks like a thing where we could easily offend one another. Speaking the truth in love. How do we do it? How should we go about it? And there was a suggestion that we might have a sermon on it. And so that's what this is. I thought today we'd have a little one-off sermon on speaking the truth in love to one another. And so we're going to think about it by asking three questions. We're going to think about what we should speak, why we should speak it, and how we should speak it. So first, what should we speak? Well, you don't need a degree in theology to be able to know what the answer to that question is, do you? I mean, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love. But what truth is it talking about? Is it sort of saying, speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Tell people true things about them, even if they don't want to hear it. Say to people, that shirt doesn't go with those trousers, or you're a terrible singer, or you've got bad breath, but finish it off by saying, I'm only speaking the truth in love. Well, no, that's not what Paul's saying. In order to understand what the truth is, we need to look at the context. So have a look at the verse before. It says, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, instead speaking the truth in love, and so on. So the truth must be truths about teaching, as opposed to the false teaching that would blow us here and there. So it's truths from God's word, truths about God, about salvation, about how to live for God, truths from God's word. So those are the truths that we are to speak to one another. And the result will be, we then won't be blown around by false teaching or by every new idea that comes along. Now we just need to pause on that for a moment, because that idea that there is a body of truth, things that we would say are true about God and about salvation and so on, is controversial in our culture. Because by and large, our culture has rejected the idea, at least in the realms of spirituality, of religion, that there could be truth, that there could be things which you will say, this is true. Our culture tells us, no, you can have your view, you can have your opinion, but you can't say that it's the truth. After all, if you were to go into schools, if I go into a school, into an assembly, or if Insight, the mission that we support that goes into local schools, if we go in and we take an assembly, we have to couch everything that we say in terms of the Bible says that, or Christians believe that, or I believe that, dot, dot, dot. What we can't do is go into the school and say, there is one God in three persons. We are sinners, rebels against God, and God sent his son to come and die for us so that we could be forgiven. We can't say those things in a truth-saying way. We've just got to say, I believe that. Now, do you see what difference that makes? That means it comes across as us just saying, well, this is my opinion, but it's not necessarily truth. And you see it in the culture around us as well, when people might say strange things that people will say. So sometimes people might say, well, that's true for you, which is a weird idea, isn't it? Because either it's true or it's not. It can't just be true for you. And it's not the way the apostles went about doing things. If they'd got into an assembly today, I think it would be fascinating to see how they would have dealt with it. But no, when they go around proclaiming the gospel, they say things like this: salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Do you see? They went around saying, here's the truth, and you need to respond to it. You need to repent. You need to turn to God. And that was a good thing that they did, to proclaim truth. Now, the problem is that way of thinking, our culture's way of thinking, can infect the church, such that we think that, well, basically, when it comes to views about God and views about what's in the Bible, and that there are just opinions. And I wonder whether maybe you've thought this, maybe without even thinking about it necessarily or thinking about it explicitly, but that when you come to church, you're coming and you're hearing other people's views, and the preacher is just preaching their view. And you could take it or leave it. It's their opinion, your opinion, other people's opinions. And when you go to a home group, if you're a part of one of them, maybe you go along thinking, well, I've got my view and other people have their views, and we'll just hear one another's views, and that'll be the end of the meeting. Actually, we need to hold to the fact that there is truth, and we need to speak the truth to one another. It's very important that we hold that there is truth, and that therefore we pursue the truth. That when it comes to the controversial issues, things like homosexuality or gender and transgender or matters to do with God or whether Jesus is the only way to be saved, that we don't just think, well, I'll just hear other people's opinions, but that we pursue truth. Do you pursue truth? And do we speak truth to one another? So, what are we to speak? We're to speak the truth. Why are we to speak it? The answer is, we speak the truth in love so that we can grow as a church. So you see it in verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, throughout this passage, Paul is talking about church growth. Church is growing. And he's not just talking about numerical growth, although we do pray for that, but he's talking about another kind of growth. You see, churches should be growing things, growing bodies. Another illustration would be, if in your garden you've ever seen an ant hill where the ants have been building their home, and maybe you've kicked the ant hill over or you've mown over it. It's amazing, all of a sudden, the activity that there is by the ants. All of a sudden there's a whole army of them that comes out and starts rebuilding, and it's amazing how quickly they can rebuild that mound. And Paul is saying a church is like that. It will grow. It's got to grow. And it grows as we speak the truth in love to one another. And that helps us to see what kind of growth Paul is talking about. You see, he says, so that in all things we will grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we as a body, we as the church, need to be built up, need to grow up into Christ. And we do that by building one another up as we speak the truth in love. So what is this growth? It is greater understanding of, greater submission to the truth. Now, we see this earlier in the passage as well. Just have a look again, back up a bit before Phil read. So back to verse 11. And Neil spoke about this, so I won't go into this in great detail. But it says, verse 11 to 13, it was he, that's God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. In other words, those are the word ministry gifts. That's what Anil said, isn't it? So God gives people with word ministry gifts to preach and teach the word of God. Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. So we preach so that God's people are ready to do works of service, so that, verse 12, the body of Christ may be built up. So preachers preach. People hear, then they're equipped to go and serve and to build up the body. And what will that look like? Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So this is growth in truth, growth in knowledge. And it is a corporate thing. It is a body thing. So as we speak the truth in love to one another, we as a body grow in the truth, grow in unity. It draws us together in the truth. And we all need to be involved, this says. It's not just the people at the front, not just the preachers. No, the preachers and teachers, we preach and teach so that everyone can be involved in building up the church in truth and in speaking the truth to one another. See, it's a bit like that ant hill. But instead of the ants building up the hill, they're building up one another. Now, it might be a slightly weird idea, but that's what's going on here, isn't it? That we are building one another up by speaking the truth. In other words, if we don't do it, we're not going to grow. Okay, so that's why we should do it, for growth. But how should we do it? Well, again, from the verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love. That's got to be our motivation, is to love one another and to see one another and see the body grow. So we're not to speak the truth for our own sakes, to build ourselves up or to look impressive, to show off to others how much we know. We're not to speak the truth, if we disagree with someone, to speak the truth in an attacking way, in a way that people feel got at, or to get defensive. Because whether we're on the attack or on the defense, we're primarily thinking about ourselves. And the end result might be, well, we might feel we've made our point, we've won the argument, but we might have left carnage in our wake. Now, the important thing is to speak the truth in love, looking to win the person, not just to win the argument. Now, that's difficult, isn't it? Because we don't necessarily know how other people are going to react when we start speaking the truth. And we've got to do it sensitively. And that's where we need deep relationships with one another and longer term relationships with one another so that we can speak the truth in love. And so let's just think for a moment about some of the practicalities on this. Well, the first practical thing is the obvious thing, that we need to be in those kind of relationships. And there are various ways we can do it, but one way you could do it is by joining a home group. That's what they're there for, to dig into God's word together so that we can be speaking truth in love to one another as we dig into God's word. So if you're not yet a member of a home group, and it has been a bit weird the last few months, groups haven't been able to meet as they normally would, but if you're not in a home group and you'd like to join one, just let me know and we can get you involved in one of our home groups. But maybe that's not the best place for you. Maybe it's meeting up one-to-one with other people. Maybe it's prayer triplets. There can be all kinds of ways that you can do it, of building these kind of relationships where the truth can be spoken in love. And that does mean correcting one another where that's needed. And that brings us on to the second thing, which is our attitude. Our attitude as we go to home group and as we enter into these kind of relationships. And the first bit of our attitude is this, that we need to know that we aren't perfect and we need others to build us up. Now, you might feel, well, I'm good with the first part of that. I know I'm not perfect. It's often the second part that we struggle with more, which is that we need others to build us up. Now, you see, that can feel a bit awkward, can't it? I'm quite willing to accept I'm not perfect. I don't have everything sorted out. But what we need to recognise from these verses is what God has given to you and me to build us up in the faith is one another. We need one another to be growing in the faith. We need each other to be building us up. And therefore, I can't get defensive about things or go on the attack if someone thinks that I've got something wrong. I need to be able to listen to them and to remember and have the humility to think, I know I haven't got it all right. And God's given me these people in the church family to build me up. So we need to have humility. But the other part of the attitude has also got to be that we need to know that others aren't perfect and they need us to help build them up. Now, that's important too. Again, you might not have a problem recognizing that other people don't have it all sorted. But actually, you need to recognize God's given you to the church to build others up by speaking the truth in love to them. It's your duty. It's your job. And so we all need to be on the lookout to help one another with this, to speak the truth in love. Now, if we have that attitude, that should help us as we go about doing this. Because one of the things we can be frightened of is that we will say something and the person will just get offended. But actually, if we all have the attitude of there is the truth out there and we want to grow in the truth, and I know I've not got it all sussed and need others to build me up, and I know other people don't have it sussed and they need me to build them up in the truth, then hopefully as a church family we'll come at this with humility and being able to speak to one another and to question one another and to bring one another back to the truth in God's word. And that's how we will grow up. You see, if we're too frightened to do this, or if we just think it's all about opinions and views, we're not going to do it. And we're not going to grow as a church family. So, we need to speak the truth in love to one another. Now, that's just a bit more on that. I'm sure you've got more questions, more comments. Do put them in the chat after the service. I'm just going to pray for us as we finish. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you command us to speak the truth in love. Thank you that we have the truth in your word. And we thank you for Bible teachers and preachers who will help us to grow. But then, Father, would you use us to build one another up, speaking the truth in love. Use our home groups, use other relationships in the church family, that we would be prepared to speak the truth in love, and so that we would grow in unity and grow in knowledge and grow in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.